With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Lead the fan podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when Nessa played at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birds to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast patron to the show. Lead the pen. Get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to another episode of Leave the Pin Podcast. This is episode 213, still rocking and rolling in the middle of the winter here in the Northeast. Scott, you're home for an early dismissal day today, huh?
It's a beautiful thing because, you know, as it were, it was looking kind of like shady out there. I figure if we can get home early, get off the road before it got bad, that'd be good. And then we got off the road and it didn't get bad. So even better.
Well, it works out for both of our schedules. You know, I mean, to record earlier, it's definitely a good thing. Get the episode out and out to the people. Scott, a lot to talk about. Golf was actually interesting this last week. Golf has been interesting the last 3 weeks to me. I've recommitted myself to watching professional golf, and I have not been disappointed. I'm in a fantasy league that Chasing Daylight podcast is running. I'm currently in second overall. I don't know how. I randomly pick my friends that are out on tour, or I pick people that my friends are caddying for, and they're doing well. So I'm in second place. That's great. Shout out to me and the guys at Chasing Daylight for putting together the Fantasy League, which is getting me to watch some more golf. Drew's participating in it as well as a Leave the Pin correspondent.
So my Fantasy League that I'm in with, it's my neighbor who runs it and kind of other like local dads. That doesn't start. We start the week after the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So the first tournament's the Waste Management.
Ah, the Waste Management. My least favorite tournament.
I mean, the one hole is cool.
When they're not littering and destroying the green with stuff.
Oh, I didn't mean 16. I meant 18.
I tell you what, I like
hole 72.
I like watching it. You know what I mean? I just know for a fact I would get there with like so much enthusiasm and then just be a curmudgeon. Like I'd be so pissed walking around with all these drunk people.
So I don't want any of that smoke. I don't want to deal with having to sprint out to the 16th hole to get myself a seat, not being able to leave, having to deal with all the loudness and the drunken idiots. Like I don't want to do that. I want to find like a nice corner of the course where I can just kind of chill and watch everybody go through.
Amen. Yes. 100%, man. Maybe we're getting old. you know, I tell you what, there's like influencer nation, right? Like every idiot is there. You know, we're idiots too, but like every idiot that's like clout chasing out there and like trying to make a name for themselves, not organically, right? Like trying to force themselves upon people. What I think will be hilarious, and someone can steal this idea, because you and I are never going out there, right? I think that you should time people from the gate to get out to, what is that, the 17th hole, right?
Is it the 17th
16th. Or the 16th? 16th hole. Sorry. Yeah, 16th hole. All the other good island green holes are like the 17th. Out to the 16th hole there and give away something to whoever's the fastest one out there, because they always show these people sprinting off the line. Right. And, you know, they're like drunk blokes that are just overweight and can't keep that pace up for any more than like 100 yards. But they never show them, you know, as they get closer. I guarantee it's like a power walk by the time they get out to the 16th hole.
Even like with that, like I forget where we were, but we had a like, it was definitely somewhere in Disney World. Let's be honest. I just don't remember where we were headed to, but I had to do like a power walk to get to the, it was the back of Epcot, which is like, 1.5 miles from the front.
Okay.
And I had to do a power walk to get to our like dining reservation at like 8:30 in the morning, like at like 8:25. I'm just like if I sprinted this, I couldn't make it. I'm like, I'm just gonna walk as fast as I can and hope they're nice to me.
We have a running family joke because one time when we took my parents to Animal Kingdom, my mom took off at the gates. And I was like, what? Like, mom, what are you doing? Hold up, old lady. Like, come back. All right. We're all fine. We've got fast passes. There's no need. Like, we're already ahead of people. Like, we rope dropped it. We were first in line. You know, mom, don't worry. But she took off like a bat out of hell. And we still laugh about it to this day because we've got pictures of it and everything because everyone just started recording her as soon as she just took off. Like, she was on a mission, Scott.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that again, that. Golf courses, anything like that. Like I just don't have time for it. Like I just want to relax, enjoy myself. If I have to run somewhere, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, I'm
That's
running.
That's why I don't like going to NFL games anymore.
Yeah. I'm running if I'm in a race or for exercise. I'm not trying to trying to get anywhere fast, you know? So talking about Scott, how the weekend was exciting. Nick Dunlap wins on the PGA Tour. Like, so for those that haven't been Nick Dunlapped to death, you know, I like to always kind of let things sink in for a day or two instead of having this, you know, immediate reaction, which most podcasters do or people on Instagram, and they got to get it out there first. And sometimes the information is not right. So people were surprised Nick Dunlap won, which, for all intents and purposes, an amateur winning hasn't happened in 33 years now since Phil, right, in Tucson. It was mind-blowing. It was phenomenal. The kid's only a sophomore at Alabama, right? I think what people fail to realize is this kid's pedigree. Like, this kid is not at Alabama for education. Not saying he's not a smart kid. I'm just saying this kid's future is in professional golf. U.S. Junior Am, USAM, North-South Champion, been invited to every major amateur event out there. AJGA Player of the Year 2 years ago. Like, this is a kid whose entire life was golf. And did I personally think he was good enough to beat tour pros right now? Probably not. You know, I definitely think he would make the cut, but for him to win was absolutely phenomenal. And as the PGA Tour is apt to do, you know this, I know this, we've seen this over the last 40-plus years. They run things into the ground, but this is truly a story, I think, that they should be getting ahead of. Like, I think this kid should be everywhere. You know, USA Today articles, on the Today Show, on Good Morning America, on ESPN. It's something the league, you know, PGA Tour as a league needs to capitalize on.
So, two things. First of all, number one, am I surprised he won? Sure. Is it completely out there that someone with that level of skill could go on a tear for 4 days? Not really. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Agreed.
I mean, does it put him up there with sort of like generational talents, for lack of a better term, like Phil? Yeah, absolutely. But in the end, like, shocked, I honestly can't say that's the case. That's thing number one. Thing number two, here's the thing with that. As much as the PGA Tour would like to, I think, probably have control of the story, I don't think they do because he's technically not a member.
Yeah, you know, part of me thought that, but it's one of those things like, so they're granting him the 2-year exemption if he wants it, right? He gets that. That's not to talk about the fact that he's not getting any money and those amateur rules are just absolutely bogus. Like, it's the biggest BS thing in the world. We could talk for hours on that. Is BS, right? It's complete BS that Christian Bezuidenhout is getting the full winner's check when he didn't win. Okay, you're good enough to win, give the kid money. Right. But with that being said, like, if you're offering him everything that goes with winning except for the money, that's odd to me. Now, I understand he has to accept it. And then if he accepts it, he loses amateur status. I do want to ask you in the future, we'll get into it. You know, I want to know if you think he should turn pro or not and what his next step should be. But you're right. That might be the reason why the PGA Tour doesn't have control of it. But if I'm PGA Tour media, if I'm Jay Monahan, who knows if he's even spoken to him whatsoever, I'd sit him down and be like, look, you've got the ability right now to be the face of the PGA Tour. And with what we're going through and what it looks like we're going to become and how big we're going to become, this could literally be a rocket ship to the moon for you. Are you in?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, that's what they should do, is just pull a dump truck full of money up to his dorm in Alabama.
But they're idiots.
But they won't do that.
Now, let me ask you this. So let me ask you first. Should he turn pro?
So I think, so should he turn pro right now?
Right now. Should he go to J.C. Will in Alabama and be like, bro, it's been real. I love you to death. Thank you for everything. I'm turning pro. When I make my millions, I'm coming back and donating a practice area for you or something like that.
When does the spring season end? Like, when are the NCAA championships?
Okay, so NCAA championships are sometime in May.
So what you're saying is
he could still play the Masters as an amateur.
He could theoretically play the Masters as an amateur.
Correct.
And then play the Open, both Opens, as a pro?
That would be correct. However, I'm not sure he'd have status into the Open Championship or the US. Feel like he does?
He does, cuz he won the USAM.
Oh, okay. That's right.
So he doesn't lose that that qualification, I guess it is.
Well, here's the deal though. Is he only keeping the status if he stays an amateur?
No, he keeps it.
Okay. So it's automatic fit in.
That he keeps no matter what. I don't know, because here's the thing. He's not going to win the Masters. I think the experience of playing the Masters as an amateur, maybe you get low am there, you get to stay in the crow's nest.
Yep.
I kind of feel like that has value, and that's something that money can't buy.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the few things it can't.
He has plenty of time to make money. Turn pro June 1st, the extra 3 months not going to make a difference. That's my take. If I'm him, knowing what I know, that's what I'm thinking. Now,
there's always a lot of
his life is different.
Yeah. But. Yeah. There's always a lot of behind the scenes things that people aren't, always aware about. So I'm just thinking of like the schedule coming up, right? You've got Torrey Pines, obviously he's not playing, but then you got AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, right? Then you got Waste Management coming up after that. Following that, you got the Genesis. That's a signature event. Not getting in. Opposite field.
He's in all those.
He's in the signature events?
With a win, I think he qualifies for all that.
Okay, then that's my bad. That's me being ignorant of the way the new tour is. All right, so then he's got the Genesis.
I might be wrong, but I think he does.
Cognizant Classic, PGA National. That's four already. Arnold Palmer. That's five. We're still in March. The Players, Valspar, Houston Open. Still in March. Then we go Valero Masters. Now we're up to nine. He's got legitimately. There are 14 tournaments, and I'm counting, and the PGA and the Masters, 16 tournaments, four or five of them are signature events that he would be in. So here's my mindset, and I've always kind of been of this mindset. You can always go back and get your education, right? There are some people whose education is leading them towards being a professional in a sport. Nick Dunlap is one of those kids, all right? There's no doubt in my mind that when he entered Alabama, he knew exactly what he was doing, kind of following those JT footsteps. You know, he's talked about how JT's mentored him a little bit and how he's spoken with him. And that was one of the reasons he went there, because of how many pros that they've sent to the PGA Tour. So I'm on the mindset that, look, golf is fleeting, okay? And for the best people in the world, golf is just not as fleeting, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm on a heater, I just won, I look at myself in the mirror next day and say, man, I could be $1.5 million richer. I could be probably $10 million richer because of sponsorship ads and whatnot. You know, the NIL deals are not getting me that type of money. You know, I think I talk to Jay, have a heart to heart, and I say, look, man, I'm going to turn pro. Like, I love you. Thank you for everything. I will not forget you. We are not going to lose contact, whatever you need to do. And then I just try and go out on a tear. Like a 20-year-old kid, he's got the endurance. A lot of these pros talk about how tough it is to play 3 weeks in a row. I bet you this kid can bang out 5 weeks in a row and then a rest. Hmm. Top 10 here, top five there, maybe catches lightning in a bottle again. It, bang, bang, kid set for not only the next 2 years, but the next few years after. Now, here's a wrinkle that I want to throw at you, Scott, because no one has talked about this, at least that I've heard. And I listen to a lot of podcasts and do a lot on Instagram. Not one single person has mentioned Liv with this kid. If I am Liv, right, and I'm Yasser, and I got this PIF money, and I'm chilling with Greg Norman, and I say, here's what we're doing. We got John Rahm. That's a big get. Guess what? We are stealing all the thunder from the PGA Tour. Hey, Nick, here's 25 mil. Turn pro, join Liv. We'll boot someone off a team. You're on. That's exactly what I'd do if I ran Liv.
So I think, again, it ultimately depends on like what his real priority is, because I'm sure that conversation has either happened or is in the works.
Sure, it might have occurred.
There's no way that Liv is just sort of sitting on this one and going, the PGA can have him.
Especially with their season starting very soon.
So my take is, again, and I don't know what his life is like. I don't know what his plans are. For me, obviously what you said, there's obviously merit to that. It obviously makes sense. Again, you can't go wrong either way. For right. me, if I'm him, I want the experience of winning an NCAA championship. I want to be Masters low am. Like, I want all the things, right? I can't go back and be low am at the Masters again. Right?
Right, but you can't also guarantee that you're going to be low am.
I understand
Amateur golf and college golf is so luck oriented that how do I know that the three other guys on my team are going to play balls out, lights out that day and I win a natty?
But that's the thing. So you take the chance, right?
Okay. Yep.
That's fine. So if I'm him, I'm using that Liv money and I'm saying, listen, 25 million, that's great. Knock it down to 20 and I come June 1st.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And right? then and he says to them, but guess what? He says, not only do that, but if I win a natty, if I'm low am at the Masters, bump that to 30 mil.
Yep. And then, and that's the thing. So then he still gets into the two opens because he's in those. And then he just has to continue to qualify.
It's crazy to think that within the history of all podcasts, right, from the dawn of podcasting, that this is a story that no one's ever had to think about because the first time it's occurred, right? And it's right. gotten so much play, and it's just – it's so interesting to talk about because, like you said, you can go your way, you can go my way, you can go a hybrid of the two, and this kid cannot lose.
No, not at all.
Like, he's Mr. Golf for 2024.
Oh, completely. And again, the world is literally at his doorstep right now. Like, he, whatever he wants, he's got it. He's the one in control right now.
Somebody said to me, they said, can you believe how good these college kids are nowadays? And I didn't know what kind of answer he wanted. I didn't know if, like, he thought I should be like, no, man, I can't. Hell yeah, I can. Like, are you kidding me? Have you seen the numbers lately? Have you seen what these kids do in college golf? And most people probably don't follow. Like, obviously, you and I are a little bit different. I'm definitely in a position that's different now because Leiden is being recruited and I see the competition out there. And Scott, let me tell you that it's otherworldly what these kids can do. Like, Lai's a very good junior golfer, okay? Even in small flashes, phenomenal, okay? We go down to Savannah this weekend for the Savannah Junior Open. Awful weather. I mean, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Actually, they set 80-year lows for the temperature in Savannah. Animals were dying down there, birds on the course. It was horrible. Finishes T8. Not great, not awful. He was disappointed. You know, I told him, hey, man, you haven't played real golf since November. Like, you know, legitimately. And before that, it was states. You know, we that was in October. These kids play year-round. Every kid that we spoke to, every kid he spoke to, homeschooled, cyber-schooled. How do you go to brick and mortar, they ask him. How are you a public school kid and good at golf? It doesn't make sense. So there's like this whole subsection, Scott, this whole contingent of phenomenal junior golfers that are like just competing for these D1 scholarships to like become the next Nick Dunlap. And it's insane. A dad said to us, they said, when does he have time to practice if he's in school till 2:15? I'm like, after school, you know, like what practice should be. And he goes, my son goes to school till 10 a.m. Then he works out. Then he meets with his instructor. Then he goes to the range and he plays 9 holes every day. And then you think to yourself, like, how does a regular kid, how does a regular family compete with that? These kids travel every weekend up and down the East Coast to wherever it's warm, out west, southwest. You know, it's absolutely insane the level of golf they're playing in January because they never stop playing.
Yep.
You know? And then people ask, can you believe what these college kids are doing? Hell yeah. Because there's so many kids below that level that are grinding day in and day out on the best courses with the best equipment and the best technology. And they are maxed out.
And the best instruction.
And the best instruction. And they have no worries. But the weird thing is, like when you relate it to everyday life, I was trying to talk to these kids about music and sports and this, that, and the other, and these kids literally could not carry a conversation if it was not about golf. And, it, you know, it's sad because a lot of these kids are going to get burned out, and they're not going to play D1, and they're not going to do anything after college, which is, you know, fine, obviously, right? But then it leaves you with this, like, it leaves you with this entire hole in your, like, social collective. That how do you repair that when you don't have any experiences except for being on a golf course?
So, again, they're all following the blueprint of this guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at that Funko Pop right now as well.
It's my Tiger Woods Funko Pop.
Yep.
And that's the thing. Everybody thinks that their kid's going to be the next Tiger. Okay, that's fine. So, hypothetically, let's say you have, you know, top two all-time talent.
Yeah.
That's great. But like what you just said about like being well-rounded and understanding like how to live in society. Again, not bad-mouthing the guy, but let's be fair. There's definitely some maturing that Tiger had to do that just didn't happen.
Yes, well, happened, but happened probably 20 years later than it should have.
Sure, exactly.
Because for all intents and purposes, the dude and many kids at that level, or many adults at that level, are socially and emotionally stunted.
Yep.
Because of their upbringing.
So, again, like, and I'm not telling anyone how to raise their kids or, right. or whatever. Like, that's, you know, that's your business. All I'm saying is it's not surprising that, like you said, that these kids can play at that level.
Right. You know, and
just,
Lai was,
I just hope it works out for them.
Yes. Lai was like, you know, a bit disappointed. He's like, you know, I go back and it's freezing and, you know, the weather here, like we were like minus 10 over the weekend.
Same.
Yeah. And yeah, obviously, you know, the whole Northeast was just killed by that polar vortex. But he's like, you know, I come back home and even though it's 35 degrees and I could be out hitting balls, everything's covered with snow. Like, and I get it. But what I always try to relay to him is that, like, you play golf year round, right? But you really only play golf 6-7 months a year. And you're just as good as these kids. Like, so part of me thinks, what are these parents wasting their money on? You know, like, if they're only just as good as him. And then I told him, I said, just think when you get to a college, when you find that place that you're in love with that coach that you're just enamored with their facilities, like, think about what your game is going to become. You know, it's blast off at that point, right? Because, you know, we're whatever you want to say, middle class or upper middle class. I mean, we do very well. I don't want for anything, but guess what? We don't belong to a private club. I don't have a track man in my house. You know, I don't pay 20 grand a year for the kid to go to an instructor, you know, like I'm his coach. So there's only so far that he can go right now. But once you get to college, I think a lot of these kids, once they lose their like parental support system, are not going to grow when they go to college. And those kids that have been grinding it out their whole entire time throughout high school, when they get to college and all this stuff is given to them, you know, they shoot off and everything's like up and to the right, like the stock market.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's an interesting, I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah, I mean, that's obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously the case. It can only get better.
Yeah, it's I tell you what, man, it's a very weird subculture, like, because all these kids knew each other. Like, they just travel tournament to tournament. You know, it's just, and, like, all their parents do, like, remote work or whatever, or sometimes the kids, like, fly out by themselves. It's just wild. It's wild.
It's like a whole nother, like, tour, just the other way around. Instead of the kids just hanging out, it's the parents.
Yeah, and instead of people going off to like win money, these kids like trying to win scholarships, right? Like that's what it ends up becoming.
But which in the end, like without doing all that, they'd probably
all the same amount of money.
they'd all still get scholarships anyway.
Yeah it's nuts. You know, it was cool Rory won. You know, he's done being like PGA Tour spokesman and he can finally play golf again.
Well, all that does is just put him on the path where the question is whether or not he'll peak at Augusta.
Well, that's the question every year, right?
Exactly. So
you think he's going to win another major ever? I've been rewatching Full Swing, and the last episode of Full Swing, remember he was leading the Open Championship, He didn't fold. Nothing dropped for him. He hit good shots. Nothing dropped. And they mentioned it has been 8 years. You know, now it's 9 years. Scott, pretty soon it's going to be 15 years. Does he have another one in him?
It's hard to say no. But I'm going to say no.
I don't
know that he really has like the fire to like. Like, I don't know that it's that important to him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or the fact that I think, like, look, Tiger screwed everybody. Tiger jaded
totally.
Everybody. Like, we just think it's normal for a great player to win 5, 6, 7 majors. There's 4 chances a year. And you're competing against the top tier people. And then you got dudes like Nick Dunlap in college, right? That could go out and conceivably win one as well.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like if Jordan Spieth retired 5 years ago, he's still a Hall of Famer.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like...
And like, let's and be honest.
He's still like in his 30s.
Like, golf is a very long game, right? This is not your pitcher that throws 100 and like you've got to max out 6 years before your arm starts to degrade. It's not a running back, you know, where you got to worry about your knees. Like, golf is a long sport. Hell, Phil won his last major at 50. Okay, let's not forget, like 2 years ago, Phil wins at Kiowa. I mean, that's insane. So conceivably, Rory's got 40, 50 more chances at this. I just know how good the crop of people coming up in the next 10 to 12 years is going to be. And it makes me think that the age of somebody like Brooks Koepka, like Rory, like Spieth is starting to wane. I think that era is starting to end. I think we're seeing the sunset of that era.
Well, and ultimately that's my point, like where it's not that important to him. Like again, he could just stop playing golf right now. It's not like he hasn't already accomplished almost everything he could. It's not like he's ever going to want for money. Like, I don't want to say he's like, they're all soft, but like they're all so rich and like they have everything they could want from life.
Yeah, kind of like that fat cat syndrome where why do I need to move anymore if I'm getting everything given to me?
You know, like I don't know that these guys are all motivated by catching Tiger or Jack. Like, Tiger was motivated by catching Jack.
Yeah.
That's the way he was conditioned as a young kid.
You know,
I don't know that that's the case for anybody.
When Jack was doing all that, and a lot of people listening to this podcast won't understand this because they're just not that age. But when Jack was doing all that stuff, nobody thought that there would be a kid born in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that would eventually become the successor to Jack, not the surpasser, right? Because he didn't number wise, but the successor. In many people's minds, the greatest golfer of all time, based upon the competition he had to play against. So conceivably, with that being said, there could be a kid born in the next 5 years, right? That doesn't covet money or whatnot, just has an internal drive and desire to get to that point. I just personally think the game is so strong, even at its lowest base, like at its mini tour base, the game is 100 times better than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, sure. I mean, you have amateurs winning tournaments.
Yeah. Like, it's funny because, so I'm watching that with Drew and kind of trying to explain it to him, right? I'm trying to explain to a 14-year-old child of, you know, the history of golf, which his history is very short. His history almost doesn't even include Tiger. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, right? Drew's history of golf includes a Masters that Tiger won, but never the greatness before it, right? So
he's like Tiger's kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He's a year younger than Charlie Woods.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a bit of a skewed view that he's starting to look through the golf lens at. But I'm explaining to him because Golf Channel had all the lists of the amateurs that won. And he said, were these guys any good? Like, it's just Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame, a Hall of Fame, or Hall of Fame. I said, yes, these guys, like this is not something that just appears in a vacuum once in a millennia. Like, this is a precursor to greatness, or at least it has been in the past. So just, honestly, Scott, very cool stuff in professional golf and puts golf in a good place. I talked to you about this off air. Sorry. We're talking about on air now, watching the football playoffs this weekend, right? and they have these ads for the USFL and the XFL. And now I didn't even think these were things anymore. They're things, okay? And these two things are starting to combine to become one thing, which I guess The Rock is part of and whatever else. I don't even know because I truly don't care. But
I think The Rock owns the XFL now.
Okay, might. Yeah, I just saw something on a wrestling website about how he's on the UFC board now that this Saudi conglomerate owns the UFC and WWE and this, that.
Yeah, they all bought that, whatever it is, but they bought, I don't know how it all works.
Yeah, some money consortium out there.
They're all, the UFC and the WWE are owned by the same umbrella.
Okay, which I'm assuming the XFL might or might not fall under, whatever. So obviously the XFL didn't do well on their own. The USFL didn't do well on their own. There's all these other jack-off leagues that come here and there every once in a while to try to get a foothold for spring football. But they had, maybe it was Jim Nance or someone on, and he was like, spring football is back, the merger of the USFL and the XFL. And I'm thinking, you know what? If you take two leagues and you turn them into one, you know, then maybe you take the best parts of both, and maybe spring football can actually work, especially because it has the blessing now of the NFL. It's not something where they're in competition with the NFL anymore. They're kind of like, hey, man, we can help you out a bit. I relate this to golf, and I was telling you, Scott, I think maybe moving forward, this is the way that we get a megalith tour. Right, this enormous conglomeration of different tours together, but they become seasons. Maybe LIV is the USFL XFL, where in the silly season events that we used to have in November and December, it's LIV team time, and then LIV team time goes away, and then it becomes time for the PGA Tour. You know, and we work that in somehow.
I mean, it kind of works with soccer, where, you know, there's like all the different leagues, the Premier League, La Liga,
yep,
whatever, all the other
Bundesliga.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's all like the different cups.
Yes, so, the Copa Cup and this, that, and the other.
Exactly. So there, you know, like if you're Manchester United, right, you have your Premier League season, that's all going on. But then there's also like the Euro Cup.
Yep.
And not the World Cup, because that's different, but
yeah,
the Super League, all these like different things. Like, again, soccer kind of makes all that work, so why can't golf?
I agree with that 100%. I think like if we're going to move forward and it's going to include both LIV and the PGA Tour, then like, let's get it out in the open. Let's just make some cool stuff. Like, let's make some real cool stuff. Let's say that both entities are still going to exist, but let them get together and say, okay, if we started golf from day one, if 2025 becomes ground zero for golf, how would we set it up? Forget the past, forget everything. What would be awesome? And then go from there. Everything's on the table. Everything. Redoing the Ryder Cup. You know, redoing the President's Cup. Having a real match play back. Because you can run two different events. We can go back to the bracket match play, which was dope.
Would you run it like pre-merger NFL almost? Where there's kind of two leagues going. And then ultimately, there's a Super Bowl, or call it a Super Tourney or something like that.
Yeah, God, I mean, like, let's be honest, that's a sick idea. That's a sick idea, and maybe we run everything in 3 month segments, you know. So like the Super Tourney is between, you know, whatever LIV takes more guys on. So they have 150 guys. PGA Tour has 150 guys. You play these 3 months, and then it boils down to the top 10 point getters in each. And then those guys play a 20 or a 40 man tournament or something like that. Winner take all, or a point system where, you know, first place is worth 100 and then it's worth blah, blah. And then we add them up at the end and we say LIV got 850. The PGA Tour got 900. PGA Tour are the Golf Cup champions of the year or whatever. That's a dumb name. I understand. I'm just throwing stuff out there. A lot of cool stuff you can
do. I mean, it definitely, it would have corporate sponsorship. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my bad. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The AT&T Golf Cup.
Yeah, it's got to have corporate sponsorship.
Yeah. No, always got to, you got to satisfy corporate first and then the fans, always. What else you got going on? I got one other thing I have in my notes. It's a stupid question, but I want to know what else is going on. How's your practice going?
It's going pretty good. I mean, it's been, like you said, it's been so cold.
Yeah,
it's been cold. Yeah, so I've been good for the small bucket. I think it was you who said, like, you don't like to hit your driver in the really cold weather.
I don't, and it's probably stupid that I don't want to. It's one of those things where, like, I just value what I pay for, and, like, honestly, I don't want to go spend $600 because I cracked a driver face, but Lye played in 15-degree weather for two straight days. And pounded driver, and it was fine. So I
thought about that as I sort of teed up my first drive at the range, and I was like, you know what? This can sit in the bag for a couple months. It's cold out here. It's not going to roll anyway. I'm not going to get a true gauge. Like, because the range is all snowed up right now.
Okay, yeah.
This is one of my favorite times to go to the range. Because they're all like, all the balls are like out there frozen at this point, like waiting for the snow to melt. So there's all like this like chatter about when the range is going to run out of balls. Gotcha. That's the range chatter. Like you can hear it as you like walk to find a stall.
Yeah, so you got to make sure that you get there, you know, in time during the season to actually be able to hit balls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been going to this range. I kind of stopped for a couple years, but this has been my like regular thing. Like I go on weekends in the winter, like one day, either Saturday or Sunday, every week between New Year's and when like golf season starts.
Right.
And they've never actually run out of balls. There was one time it got pretty hairy, according to the pro. But, you know, the one thing I do at this range, and again, I really like this range. I like they have the top tracer technology, all that stuff. Right. One thing that really annoys me is they advertise that they got all new balls and everything, all new mats. They definitely did not get all new balls.
Marketing is falsity there.
It's the same balls they had. Did they get new mats? They probably did. I do. This range is, I think they do a really nice job. Don't say you got, you know, thousands of new golf balls when you clearly didn't.
Right. Right. Well, hey, but that draws people in, right? Especially if they're new people, if the balls still look good and they're new people, those people don't know.
Of course. Exactly.
we're actually going to, we're going to get Lye a full bag fitting, more so to kind of check his loft and Lye numbers and make sure everything still fits. He's a lot bigger, a lot stronger than when he got fit 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're going down to Golf Tech by us. Never had any experience with them whatsoever. You know, it's all sim-based. There's no outdoor facility. Even at this time of year, you wouldn't be able to use it. But I got very good reviews on the guy who's fitting them, one of my buddies. Played collegiate golf with him, you know, says a real good guy, knows his stuff. And it's funny, when I booked the appointment with him, I was like, look, I looked into Club Champion. I looked in this other place, Sittler's Golf, which is a Golf Digest top 100 about an hour from us. And I said, hey, man, we're not coming there for a sales pitch. I said, my kid's a good player. We know our numbers. We want to check our loft and lies. They have a full bag sale. It's a 4.5 hour fitting. So we're doing 2 hours Friday night, 2.5 hours Saturday morning. You're going to break it up so he's not fatigued. Mm-hmm. And I said, so no BS. I said, we're here for numbers. If something does fit and works better, we'll probably get it. I said, but if I can find it online cheaper, then I'm going to get it there. You know? And right. The guy was like, oh, dude, That's really kind of refreshing. Thank you. Without a doubt. He's like, this is going to be good. He's like, I don't have to BS you. I don't have to explain things to you. You know, because half the time when you get fit for something, these people don't know what even they're looking at in terms of numbers.
Right, exactly. So the guy I go to for fittings, the guy I'd been going to for fittings, he was one of the Golf Digest like top 100 guys.
Sure.
I think a lot of that's just...
You really rank those people?
A combination of reputation and whatever it is they're willing to shell out to Golf Digest to be
agreed.
On the list.
Agreed.
Did they have it? Like, did they have everything? Yeah. Did they have TrackMan and all that? Yeah. Bottom line is, I think a lot of what you get out of that is based on your own personal knowledge.
I think so too.
Because the first time I went for a fitting and the second time I went for a fitting with that guy were two entirely different stories. The first time I feel like I got the sales pitch, I got a lot of the, oh, you got to try. It was when TaylorMade came out with the rocket balls.
Mm.
It's like, you got to try the rocket ball. Like, this is like, okay, fine. Like, whatever. I'll try anything you want. But again, he's just feeding me the sales pitch.
Yeah.
The second time I went, because we had already kind of been through a cycle. He knew me from like hanging around the range and just kind of like talking to him. He had like fitting events that I would go to and we talk. I showed up. He's like, all right. He's like, the only two clubs I want you to try are this one and this one. He's like, if you don't like these two, we can go outside of that. He's like, but these are the two based on what I know about you that you want to look at.
Right, because he already knew your numbers, he knew your game, your ball flight, your patterns, what you were looking for.
Exactly. So, bottom line is, that guy moved further into Connecticut. It's not worth driving to him.
Okay, gotcha.
So, the last time, as actually just this June or July, whenever, I got fit, this guy I know, and I actually know him pretty well. He did, like, I took lessons with him, like, 12 years ago. He was a member at the golf course I was a member at, like, and he worked at the range that I the local range that I go to. So I called him up and I was like, hey Ken, like, and he works at a PGA Superstore. He's the head fitter there, or the head pro at a PGA Superstore. So I called him, I was like, listen, I need new golf clubs, this is what I want to try. I'm like, can I book that with you, or do I have to go through the whole system? He's like, do not book it through the system. He's like, you'll get some like teenage kid. Just come see me and I'll just put you in a simulator. You tell me what you want and we'll tweak it. So that's kind of what I did.
Yeah.
So again, a lot of this is all based on your own personal knowledge. I didn't need the sales pitch. I didn't need some kid telling me, and not that they don't know what they're doing, but in all honesty, some of them probably don't. Just, I know what I want. I just had a general idea. If it didn't work, it didn't work, and we move on to something else.
Right.
I knew kind of what I wanted. I knew what the starting point was. At that point, we're playing around with lofts and lies and shafts and things like that. But like in terms of like general club, like, this is my starting point. We'll work from there. And he was perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I think it's super important when people go to get fit that you, A, go in with an open mind, kind of be brand agnostic, but also go in with a little bit of knowledge. Like, learn a little bit about your swing. Learn some of your numbers. Know what your spin rate is. Know where your misses are. Know what your dispersion is. Know where your apex is. Just simple things that you can get from one day on a TrackMan in a simulator somewhere.
And I don't know who's listening out there or where you're at and like maybe thinking about getting fit. And I'm just going to say it right now. So it's almost the beginning of February. If you're in the Northeast and you want new golf clubs, like ready to go, like let's say beginning of May, you probably only have a few weeks to kind of go get fit and order those clubs and have those in your hands by like the time the weather starts getting better.
Yeah, that's an absolutely phenomenal point, because companies are so backlogged that fitters will tell you, hey, man, this is going to be 2 months. You know, and I've had that in the past, and I'm like, all right, cool. Then all I'm doing right now is I'm taking the specs. I know what shaft I need. I know what head I need. I'm going right on Titleist and order it, and I'm going to have it in 2 weeks. Yep. You know, when you get these big bulk orders from a fitter, sometimes it does take a while. And people in the rest of the country, like not in our region, they don't worry about that because they can continue to play and they've got, I've got my clubs now. You know what I mean? And I'll just work the new clubs in when I get them.
Right. Yep,
but yeah, exactly. If you're in the Northeast and you have a shortened season or you live up north or the Midwest and you're snowed in right now, like you want those clubs as soon as you can go outside and hit them.
Exactly. So, and that's definitely something you really want to think. I didn't even think, I was just looking, as we were talking about it, I looked at the date. I'm like, oh yeah. Like anyone who orders clubs now, like they're in good shape. But if you wait till the weather's better, you're going to be waiting a little bit. You might get those clubs in time for your like club championship. You might.
Hey, Scott, we're just out here doing God's work, helping people out.
Exactly. Now I want to go get fit for something.
Well, you just got clubs, Scott.
You know what? I switched everything but my driver.
Let's go, baby. New driver for Scotto.
You got
a whole new season's clubs to pick from, and in 3 months they'll be half price.
Well, so and the other piece of that is if you can still get fit for last season's clubs.
Oh, windfall. Yep.
So that's what ended up happening with me.
Scott, that's a life hack right there. That's a life hack that you're giving people. Yeah.
So I went in, full disclosure, I went into that fitting. I want these clubs. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted to try. That was my plan going into it. I walked out with the model year before. So I think it's the ping is up to the G430 or whatever. I got the G425s. The difference in the number was minuscule. The mm-hmm. difference in the cost was astronomical.
Yep.
So to lose a yard, let's say, to save $700.
Yeah.
You can't. There's no.
Yeah, I was going to say
no. Nothing.
In some cases, people would be able to save so much money that they'd be able to almost fund the majority of their golf played for the year with the money they save.
Oh, so again, I say $700 on the irons.
Right. Exactly.
I also
right.
bought two fairway woods and two hybrids.
Yep.
And I saved on those also.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, and then if you throw putter wedges in a driver, I mean, you literally could be talking about $1,500 in savings.
Yeah. And the irons, like when I say like those were custom built, like that guy Ken built them for me.
Yeah.
Like I went in, he took the heads off something else, put shafts on, put grip, like all brand new, all spec'd out.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Charged me any more than he had to.
It's cool and exciting. I mean, it's probably one of the most fun experiences you can have as a golfer, aside from playing like great courses. You know, I told Allie, I said, I say next year, honestly, I don't know, dude. Once I can like start playing again and I'm focusing on my game and not the boys' game. So maybe once Lai gets to college, depending on what Drew's doing, I can focus on it. I do want to get fit again. I love the process. At that point, the clubs will be, you know, 6-7 years old. So tech could help a little bit. And I'd like to see what's out there at that time.
It's a lot of fun.
It is fun. It is. It's like golf for Christmas.
Exactly. Even if you're not going to buy, it's still fun.
Yeah.
You can get like a fitting day, demo day, whatever at your range. It's a good experience.
It is. It is. It is very cool. It's very cool. All right. But I think we're good, huh?
Definitely. Now that we like made ourselves huge fans of the golf industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's funny how, again, everything becomes cyclical, right?
Yep.
And we're helping people, Scott. That's the bottom line. We're out here helping people.
Exactly.
Not cloud chasing, just helping people. That's what we do.
So all about that.
All right, buddy. Well, you be good. Everyone else, either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Get busy fitting. Later.
Absolutely. It depends on the COR of the flagstick, so the coefficient restitution flagstick. In U.S. Opens, I'll take it out, and every other tour event when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce that ball against the flagstick if I need to.
Hey, podcast patrons. Real quick break in the episode here. I want to talk to you about Big Wings Golf Apparel. They've just become the official glove and proud sponsor of us, Leave the Pin Podcast. We all know how important a comfortable glove and good grip are for the golf swing. And like us, you're probably tired of overpaying for gloves at the pro shop right before your round of golf, or getting some crap glove that's overpriced at Golf Galaxy, or pulling something out of your bag that's stiff as a board because it's you sweated through it and you left it in there for 2 weeks before you played again. Well, thankfully, Big Wings Golf Apparel has the solution. Go visit bigwingsgolf.com before your next round for all your golf glove and apparel needs. Experience unmatched comfort and a perfect grip with these premium Cabretta leather gloves and feel the difference with every swing. Big Wings Golf Apparel, where craftsmanship meets performance. Again, that's bigwingsgolf.com, and you, our listeners, can use code LTP for 10% off your first order. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast. Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days, but if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own Weekend Warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com.